The Dialogue with Clement Maniatela.
It's not just another roundtable discussion.
Let's walk the talk on 702.
So, on our Thursday dialogue this morning, I'm asking, are members of parliament prioritizing party work over their parliamentary duties? And I'm asking this because there's data that was published by the Parliamentary Monitoring Group that shows that parliamentary attendance by members of parliament for portfolio committees is worsening. There's actually a decline during the first session of 2024 compared to the previous year. Now, I know that we pay a lot of attention to the plenary sessions of parliament, right? But it's actually the committees where the work of drafting legislation, the work of holding members of the executive to account takes place. And sadly, it's in those committees that we see the poor attendance by members of parliament. The EFF apparently has the lowest attendance rate of all the major parties for 2023. This parliamentary monitoring group says the party's deputy president, Floyd Shivambu, for instance, attended only 10 out of the 55 committee meetings. And the party leader, Julius Malema, attended only 6 out of the 40 committee meetings. But there have also been some people who are attending these meetings, like the finance committee chairperson for the ANC, Joseph Maswanganyi. He scored a 100% attendance rate for the first quarter of 2024. The DA's Alf Lee, the EFF's Mzwanele Manyi as well. So how can parliament deal with this issue where members of parliament are not attending committee meetings? What sanctions do you think should be considered? Because I don't think absenteeism from committee meetings is rigorously being monitored with adequate consequences. And I don't know what your thoughts are, but you can share those with us on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 0727021702. As I said in the previous hour, under any other normal conditions of employment, if you are an average employee, you wouldn't keep your job if you only showed up for work 60 or 70% of the time, right? So why must it be different with our MPs? 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial. You can also send us your WhatsApp voice note. Let me introduce you to my guests who will be guiding us through this conversation. We have Professor William Gumede, who is the founder and executive chairperson of Democracy Works Foundation. Professor Gumede, thank you so much for making time for us. Good morning.
Good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
We have Professor Amanda Howes as well, who is a professor of political science at Stellenbosch University. Prof, thank you so much for also joining this conversation. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to William and the listeners.
And we also joined by Dr. Rachel Fisher, who is a parliamentary engagement and research manager at AUTA. Dr. Fisher, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me. And also thanks to join my fellow panelists and the listeners. Mm.
Professor Gumede, I want to maybe start off with you, if you will. Help us understand the role of committees in parliament and how important member participation is in these committees.
Committees is actually the spine of the parliament oversight system, because in the committees where members of parliament actually apply their minds, where they look at policies, where they look at laws, and where they really can also hold, you know, the executive, state-owned entities and agencies accountable and look at the budget, the national budget, see that it prioritizes the right things and so on. Now, if members do not attend committee meetings, it really means that they're not playing their oversight role. It means also that the committees cannot make quality decisions. I mean, they're not enough people to think through what executive is doing and state what state-owned companies are doing. So it's absolutely important that they do attend.
Yeah. Professor Howes, I think a lot of us often pay too much attention to the plenary sessions of parliament. And I think some members of parliament, you know, also think, oh, as long as we are there in the normal sitting of parliament, the National Assembly. But as Professor Gumede says, the actual work of members of parliament happens in those committees. Have you seen like an instance where members of parliament are actually attending the National Assembly, that plenary, more than they actually go to the committee meetings? And how is that justified?
Well, let me just take a step back and guide the listeners through what the legislative process looks like.
Mm.
So a law, if anybody wants to have a law made on something, there's first, it has to be introduced as a concept note. So it can be introduced by a private member, so like a citizen, or from the executive, the cabinet, or from parliament itself. Then it's turned into a green paper, which gets discussed on the floor of parliament. But after that, it goes to the portfolio committees. And these committees, every department has a committee, like the Department of Justice, of Home Affairs, of the police, or whatever, where the policy and the legislation is actually made. Then it goes back to parliament as a white paper that then gets discussed. And when it is accepted by Parliament and revisions done, it becomes a bill, and that bill goes to the second house, the NCOP, for concurrence, and then it's enacted. And only once the President has signed it is it a law. But the point is, you can see that from that concept note to the green paper to the white paper, the role of the portfolio committees is absolutely fundamental and really important. And it's already a problem because many of these portfolio committees sit at the same time. So it's already a problem with the small parties that have one or two members. They cannot attend all those committee meetings to make inputs.
Mm.
So then it's very important that the bigger parties, the members of the bigger parties, then attend it and make their inputs. Now, you know, I think a party like the EFF just thinks that, you know, this is not what we want to do. It's boring. It's this, that, or the other. But that is actually the core business of members of parliament. And by not attending, you are actually giving other parties free run to write the type of legislation they want that should at some point be opposed or resisted. And that is why we see in terms of the discussions on the floor of parliament, it's very superficial, and also that a lot of our legislation is unconstitutional, which means it doesn't meet the requirements of the constitution, and then it has to go to court or the constitutional court. All that, those, you know, it takes a long time then to get laws enacted that may be really important. So I really think there should be some disciplinary process for members of parliament who do not attend the committee meetings, because, you know, they may argue they have other work to do, but that is of fundamental importance that they attend those committee meetings.
Mm. Dr. Fisher, when you monitor that kind of, or you look at the data from monitoring the engagement and the attendance by members of parliament, what are you observing? Because from that data I mentioned earlier, the EFF seems to be the one that is mostly not attending some of these committee meetings. There are other political parties as well. But what kind of trend are you seeing from the data that's collated in terms from engagements and attendance in these meetings?
Absolutely. And just to point out that we are very much grateful and dependent on the data being made available by the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. But we are also very cognizant that much of this data has got nuances that we as researchers and the public must also be aware of. Now, ALTA, the organization under tax abuse, has been releasing our annually parliamentary oversight reports. And then this year would be our sixth report. And we use that data to also then scrutinize what occurs within meetings, as you've rightly indicated. Now, initially, we wanted to utilize this data to pull a picture in terms of presence, absenteeism. And we actually wanted to go a step further and start naming and shaming those MPs that have poor attendance rates. But as Professor Host indicated, that many of these MPs are from minority parties and they simply cannot serve in all instances in the portfolio committees that they are meant to serve in. So that could reflect poorly on them, but unfortunately they don't have the figures to back up their presence. But then you get somebody such as Julius Malema, that is a senior party member, that would have other duties that would maybe keep him from attending to the party business within the portfolio committee, or at least within the parliamentary business. I want to take it another step further to say that even though you might have members of parliament sitting within meetings, it does not mean that they're actually present. And I want to underscore this difference. Just because you are there, it doesn't mean...
Sorry, Dr. Fisher, I think we're losing you there. Sorry, we lost you there for a bit, Dr. Fisher. If you can start, you said the fact that they're there doesn't mean they're in attendance.
Their presence.
Their presence, yeah?
Yes, doesn't mean they're present. Meaning that their attention is not necessarily there. We saw instances, you know, of online during COVID, the Zoom calls, that, you know, things are happening in the background or the attention is distracted. But we sat with this very important electoral amendment bill, which is now the Act. And at crucial points within the bill, before it was assented to by the president, key constitutional issues were raised. But in many instances, this within the Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs approved the bill as it was. And that's what happened when the bill went through. It was challenged by members of civil society within the court. And we're seeing the same now with the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill that also has potential grounds of unconstitutionality. So not only do we need members of parliament to be within their portfolio committee meetings, but they have a massive responsibility to actually know what is going on within the work and the mandate of the portfolio committee they are serving on.
Yeah. So do we have enough accountability mechanisms, Professor Gumede? Because there was a time, I remember, you know, back, I just don't remember the particular year, probably around 2012, when there was a proposed policy to govern MPs' attendance of these parliamentary meetings, but it was rejected by some members who were unhappy about the sanctions that would hit their pockets hard or even cause them to lose their seats should they be absent for an extended period of time. Do we have enough accountability mechanisms? Are there sanctions that Parliament can employ when members of Parliament are just failing to attend these meetings? Or is that the jurisdiction of the political parties themselves to take action against their members?
I mean, clearly we don't have enough accountability mechanisms in Parliament. I mean, you know, the parties must hold their members accountable, but also Parliament must hold the members accountable. And of course, also citizens and civil society, we must also hold the members accountable. You know, we need to shame them. As civil society need to take them on. I mean, just look at the rules. The rules are very, very lenient. I mean, the first thing is if a member is absent for 15 or more consecutive sittings of the National Assembly, the member may lose his seat. So the focus is just being on sittings of the assembly. But when it comes down to the committees itself, I mean, the rule says that if a member is absent from 3 consecutive meetings of a committee, the member could be sanctioned to the effect of a fine of 1,000 rand. I mean, 1,000 rand for each day of absence. I mean, that really is a ridiculous fine. Now, I mean, we are seeing the consequences of non-attendance of committee meetings. I mean, in this parliamentary cycle, I mean, this one was certainly the worst parliamentary cycle since 1994 in relation to laws adopted and, you know, productivity of Parliament. So this is the worst session compared to all of the other sessions since 1994. And what we've seen is a number of laws have been, deemed unconstitutional. And as you know, what Professor Hose was saying, it is the lack of oversight by MPs in committees that lead to us, to Parliament coming up with laws that actually don't make sense and nonsensical, irrational, unconstitutional. And then, you know, the whole process has to be repeated. It's costly for Parliament. It's costly for the citizens.
Professor House, what is it going to take? What kind of sanctions do you think Parliament should consider? Because clearly, for as long as we do not have sanctions that are strong enough to make these MPs, you know, reconsider their lack of attendance, we are going to continue seeing them not take these committee meetings seriously.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, every party has a caucus in Parliament. And that's, you know, where the party policies are generated and where MPs have to agree on what needs to be in a piece of legislation. So that disciplining can start in the caucus, but that is still a party-specific process. I think there should be, you know, either disciplinary committees. I'm not sure if Parliament has disciplinary committees, or, you know, there's the integrity committee. But I mean, this is, we can think of this as some type of integrity towards your job. That's another possibility. But I also think that a party like the EFF does not believe rules apply to them. It started right from day one when they said we're going to wear red overalls and gumboots and red hats, right, which is not part of parliamentary attire. Then, you know, the noise they make in Parliament when they are not happy with something, all of that has been breaking the rules of parliamentary decorum for years, and they are used to getting away with it. I mean, this the last time now that the court has found them guilty when they interrupted the State of the Nation address, State of the Nation address of President Ramaphosa last year, was the first time that they were really reprimanded for something. So as long as the rules of decorum and protocol in Parliament is not enforced, This absenteeism will not stop. So you know, I think there needs to be, and I mean, clearly attendance is taken, and we know when members are there or not there. But you know, maybe members of Parliament are in their constituencies, but they also have to know when a really serious piece of legislation will go through Parliament, and they need to attend to that. They also need to be on the floor of Parliament. And there they also absent. And you know, like I said, some of those discussions are really superficial, and it then becomes name calling and heckling and insult rather than, you know, focusing on the work of making legislation at hand.
Dr. Fisher, and before maybe I move to Dr. Fisher, the EFF spokesperson, Sinao Tambo, had indicated that in instances where the EFF was not in attendance, it's for the purposes of delivering services to their people, to their communities. And Dr. Fisher, I mean, which is why I was asking the question earlier, whether there's more priority on doing party work than doing parliamentary work. I mean, is that explanation, you know, justified? Because Vuyani Pambo, who also has missed most of the meetings, I think he's a member of the Portfolio Committee on Communications and Digital Technologies. According to that report, he only attended one meeting for the whole of 2023. And his explanation is that, well, it's not like the EFF is not going to be represented in that committee meeting. If Julius Malema or Floyd Shivambu or any EFF member is not there, there's always an alternative that they're going to that we can go with.
Indeed, and I must say that these explanations tend to work as a type of smoke and mirrors. So if you're trying to protect your stance to say that you are serving your community, but then where is the evidence of serving your community as aligned to the requirements of doing your constituency work? And when we touch on the issue of constituency work and engagement by members of parliament, that in itself is also a very, very questionable domain within parliamentary work. We are aware members of parliament generally have mandates as constituency lead days. And there's, I think, roughly about 16 to 18 weeks per year allocated for constituency work. But what we have found in our own research, if you go and search for those constituency offices, the addresses tend to be incorrect. When you get there, the buildings don't necessarily stand or they're not functional, or you don't have the representatives manning those constituency offices that were supposed to be doing so. Now, we are also aware that through political party funding, not only through Parliament, through the Representative Political Party Fund, but also through National Treasury towards the 9 provincial legislatures, funds are being allocated to political parties to work within their constituencies and serve their communities. But if you start tracing the data, if you start tracing the figures of money spent and the work being done in the constituencies, it is actually not evidence that this work is being done. So fair enough, they might argue and say that they're all working within the communities, but how does it actually speak to actual responsibilities within the political party and as a member of parliament? So you're basically not dealing with your responsibility within the portfolio committee in terms of assisting with decision-making, commenting on budgets and legislation, but you're also not meeting the requirements of your constituency responsibility.
Mm.
And that is something that needs to be called up quite a bit, because there's very little focus happening within the public domain on constituency engagement.
Mm, yeah. Okay, we're going to take the latest in Eyewitness News headlines. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. If you've got some input, you want to join the chat, you've got some questions, 011-883-0702. You can also send us your WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702. On our Thursday dialogue this morning, we're talking about committee meetings in Parliament and the attendance of those meetings, or lack thereof, by the political parties in Parliament. I'm asking whether members of Parliament are prioritizing party work over their parliamentary duties.
30 years later, let's remember that every voice matters. That's our basic human right. Celebrate Human Rights Day and let's walk the talk on 702.
Hello, Clement, it's Mark speaking. Quite simple. If these guys don't attend the committee meetings, it must be deducted from their pay. So work out how many committee meetings there are in a year. Divide the annual or monthly salary by the number of meetings, and that's the penalty they pay per meeting that they miss. And I guarantee you, once it hits them in the pocket, they'll be going to all these meetings. Cheers.
Yeah, and maybe that's where you need to go, hit them in those pockets. Professor Kumete, there's someone here on Twitter. Where is this? Oh, Sinclair on Twitter says, but Clement, you and your guests don't seem to know what you're asking. Which committee of Parliament discussed new legislation and the EFF wasn't in attendance? You are all speculating and making misguided conclusions. MP work is not limited to plenaries and committees. There's constituency work as well, which MPs do. Professor Kumete, is that being balanced well on the part of members of Parliament, where, yes, they have to focus on constituency work, but that doesn't mean that you mustn't attend, you know, meetings of committees? That's still your responsibility as members of Parliament. Do you think that there's a fair like a fair attendance and focus on both?
You know, there are dedicated constituency days for members of Parliament, you know, which, you know, and so on. So I think it's a poor excuse to say, well, actually, I didn't attend the committee meeting because I was in my constituency. You know, they are dedicated constituency days. So that really is not defense. You know, I think we often talk about state failure, but I think we now have to talk about parliamentary failure. In the same way, you know, the parliament is failing in the same way that the state is failing. If you think about all of the key laws that have to be, that were unconstitutional and rejected because members of parliament do not attend committee meetings. Now, that is a failure. Can you almost immediately see, you know, what does it mean for their constituencies if a law which is critical to also for ordinary citizens and to empower them is unconstitutional? So, I mean, it's a failure of members of parliament. I mean, I've been teaching members of parliament for just for over a decade, and I must say that it's increasingly every cycle seems to be the quality of members of parliament seems to get seen poorer and poorer. And that is why also, the discussions by members of parliament at the committee level and the absenteeism and so on, that's reflected because we're getting a poorer crowd of members of parliament. So people with less consciousness, are not really appear not to be prioritizing their constituencies or the country's interests, but they're much more focused on the party interests. And then also what has been missing, I think parliament these days don't have these induction programs that parliament used to have at the beginning. Yeah. And parties also don't appear to have induction processes anymore.
Mm. Professor House, do you agree that that's possibly part of why we are where we are now?
Well, let me just say the message say we are speculating. We are not speculating. There's the statistics that's being kept by PMG about attendance, and we see that statistics is quite dismal. So let me put it this way. I'm a professor at university. My job description says I have to teach, I have to do research, I have to do community work and sometimes fundraising. Now, if I decide to only do research and I don't pitch up for my classes, I will lose my job. And there's the same thing here, and as been pointed out, there are dedicated periods of time for constituency work. So when people do not get involved in the making of legislation, it's a problem. And I agree with Professor Comedy. I've also trained parliamentarians. And, to read a piece of legislation is not easy because it's written in legalese, right? So there need to be induction and orientation programs. And I don't, there's a profound anti-intellectualism in government. They don't want to work with academics. We offer support. They don't want to work with us because they think they can just do the job with a minimalist training. And that's a huge problem.
Yeah. So, Dr. Fisher, let's talk about policy now. Do we have an attendance policy for members of parliament? And how does that differ from what the political parties use for themselves? Because parliament, my understanding is that it doesn't currently deal with the leave for MPs. That's the responsibilities of the parties. But it does insist on a minimum standard for the attendance of members at plenary sittings and committee meetings. So is there a policy, or do we need to start from scratch here where you conceptualize laws that are going to ensure accountability and get these MPs to start rigorously attending this meeting? Unless, of course, there's an explanation why not.
Indeed. So I must admit, honestly, I don't know if there is a policy that would actually spell that out in terms of attendance itself. What we also know, based on our analysis of the information, is there are also no benchmarks or guidelines as to the attendance of the executive of portfolio committee meetings. So when we do speak about the attendance of the executive, it means either the minister or the deputy minister attending portfolio committee meetings. Now, that is not something that we insist on. We don't want to see ministers and executive or deputy ministers attend every meeting. But it is a good indication to show the interest and dedication the executive might have in a particular problem. As an example, we do see the Minister of Home Affairs, Dr. Erin Motsoaledi, that actually regularly attends Home Affairs meetings. Another attendance rate that is very low of the executive is the Minister of Digital Communications or Communications and Digital Technologies. Interesting, though, if you start correlating it with other data made available through Parliament, are the responses to written and oral questions. Now, the Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies has the worst response rate to written and oral questions. Why do I bring this up? That is because if we see a decline in respect for certain regulations, such as attendance, it is very easy to see a decline in respect for other elements within the legislature, such as responses to questions, whether it's written or oral. So very clearly, policies and guidelines are necessary, at least to start setting a benchmark, but there must be enforcement. Now, we all know South Africa is remarkable at policies and legislation. Mm-hmm. Our problem comes with enforcement and follow through. So until there aren't really felt consequences, I cannot see how this would change. And very rightly indicated by Prof. Gumede and Professor House is how important induction is and a sensitization of these requirements, but also the rights and duties of MPs. Because yes, I mean, you were on the party list, you were voted in, and now you are a member of parliament. But in the end, it all comes down to serving the public before your party. And if you don't know how to do that effectively, you're either going to fail or you will grow a disregard for the rules that put you there in the first place.
Yeah. Stan, you're calling us from Bryanston. Good morning.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
I'm all right, man. Go ahead.
Clement, for me, I hear what your guests are saying. Mm. It seems as if we're just focusing on the quantity in terms of how many meetings are you attending. But for an example, most of those committees are comprised by ANC members who, if they can't win on content or on the argument being put forward, then they will just use their votes to vote for whatever they want. So for me, I feel that we must also look into that, because if I were to go there as an EFF person, I'm one in a committee of justice, and then everything gets overruled because they are trying to protect their people. So I just think that also must be taken into consideration when we're having this discussion.
Yeah, Sten, thank you so much for that. Professor Gumede, Sten says, I mean, he's more interested in the, you know, the impact that is being made, as opposed to, okay, who's attending, who's not attending. And what he's raising is that sometimes MPs probably feel, why am I here? When at the end of the day, what we say is normally overruled because the ANC then abuses its majority.
But before I do, I just wanted to tell you there is a policy for attendance of members. And a policy was adopted in February 2014. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear in that parliamentary policy, it sets really guidelines for leave, for attendance of party committees, for sanctions. Although, as I say, I mean, the sanctions are pretty weak, and the sanctions very much focus really on attendance of National Assembly, not attendance of committee meetings, although committee meetings are very important. For example, I mean, Rule 20 of the Assembly provides its for sanctions where a member is absent from the House or its committees for 15 or more consecutive sitting days. However, I mean, the sanctions really does not provide for a loss of membership, sadly. So the rules, but the sanctions are really not appropriate. Now, coming back just, to what your listener, the question from your listener. Yes, sadly, the quality of the discussions and the quality by members of parliament, it's also been getting much more poorer. And that is, I mean, what we now, parliament has increasingly become in a committee's a slogan-based discussions dominant parties, what they do, they just force their way through numbers rather than discuss issues in the public interest of the country, you know, on a qualitative basis, not using the muscle of numbers. And secondly, the quality of almost all members of parliament appeared to be much lower than it were at the beginning, at the sort of immediately after 1994. And I mean, we see now people are shouting at each other, slogans and fighting in parliament. I mean, that really also undermined the credibility of parliament as an institution. And people lose interest in Parliament as an oversight institution. You know, people won't appeal to Parliament because they see Parliament is not credible because of the behavior of members of Parliament.
Makashulekana, you're calling us from Johannesburg. Good morning. Hey, Makashule.
Good morning, Clement.
Hey, Tada.
Hope you're doing well. Clement, I have been a member of Parliament and the legislature. And one of the things that I will argue help is having members of committees, you know, attending the portfolio committees. Because the bulk of the work, whether it's in Parliament or in the legislature, actually happens in the committees, not in the plenary. What we see happening in the plenary that excites people is not where the bulk of the work happens. Even the processing of legislature, whether it's to provide proper oversight, it happens in committees. And it will be something that if we were to insist on or maybe propose a minimum attendance requirement, it's something that personally I would support, because I have experienced that you can persuade one another in pursuit of the common good for South Africa in committees rather than plenary. Plenary, it's more of a show.
There's not
much debate. Even when they say there's a debate on X, Y, and Z, there's no debate. Everyone comes there for show because the cameras are there. But the hard work happens in committees, and I think there is a room for us to start saying that members of Parliament have to attend committee meetings. You know, I enjoyed committees better than plenary. Actually, plenary is a bit boring because there's not much work that happens there. It's more for the show. So I will agree with the recommendation around the minimum attendance requirements of members of Parliament, members of the legislature, and
councillor. Yeah. Makashulekana, thank you so much for calling, for your contribution and sharing your experience with us. Yeah, some voice notes that have also come through.
Hi, Clement and the panel. Pauline Renfontein. It is rather disturbing to hear of these attendance records, and they raise a question in me that the fact that we see the rejection and opposition to these laws being implemented as a symptom of their lack of presence at these committees when these laws are discussed, two, their robust participation at these committees when they are present, to a point where they become as surprised and shocked by these laws when they get to the stage where the president has to approve them, pass them into laws, of their implication in their application when they become the law.
Hi, Clement. We agree with the professor. You know, ARTS has done a lot of research on the performance of Parliament, 4 years of annual reports now, and there's a lack of participation, and the responsibilities of MPs by various and most of the political parties is found wanting. You know, this notion that there is constituency work that's being undertaken, well, they get time off for that, and we've done, our research shows that the constituency offices are missing in action. The addresses, the attendance of the MPs at those constituency offices around the country is pretty futile. It's a waste of time. They are not carrying out their duties and their responsibilities to the state and to the people of this country. So without a doubt, this issue of Parliament participating, MPs being present, not just present in body, but present in mind and participating meaningfully and doing proper research before they get to these committee meetings and get to these plenary sessions is so important. We are now digitizing this oversight report that we are doing and making it more live. It'll be updated monthly and quarterly in the coming year. We've got a lot of funding from the EU to do this specific project, and hopefully we'll start to see in the next administration far more accountability and participation by MPs.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the WhatsApp voice notes. Professor House, I mean, Wayne raises another issue there of preparation. I mean, sometimes when you watch these committee meetings and you hear even the questions that MPs ask the members of the executive, you can tell that some of them haven't really done the work of going through the reports so that they're able to meaningfully engage and participate in those meetings.
Well, I also think, you know, we have to look at the levels of education of members of parliament. But reading a report, you know, it takes time. You can't just glance through it and think you know what's going on. So you need to understand that writing reports are based on research, and that is evidence of research. And the only way you can meaningfully participate in discussions is when you have done your homework. And that is, you know, required of every member of parliament. But I think that, and it brings me back to this anti-intellectualism in parliament, is that that type of thing is too boring. It's too time-consuming. We want to do the things that are, you know, let us look like celebrities in our constituencies or whatever. And we shouldn't forget that we have a proportional list system where people get elected off a list, so they don't really have constituencies. These constituencies are assigned after the fact. And I would like to know, in how many of these constituencies do the citizens who live there actually know who their member of parliament is? I've tried this on different people, and nobody knew who their member of parliament is. So this story about attending to constituencies is actually doing party work. It's not doing the work of service delivery as a member of parliament. It's doing party work, and that, you know, is also, I think, really problematic.
Yeah. Dr. Fisher, I'll have you have the final say here. All of these data and reports that are produced, does Parliament even go through the reports so that they can, I don't know, self-reflect and think, how do we do things differently? How do these reports, these monitorings help in ensuring there's proper accountability mechanisms and Parliament really comes up with laws and even the political parties to make those the participation more effective?
Well, we would certainly like for them to read these reports more often and reflect on them, and then certainly reach out and engage with civil society organizations such as ourselves and academics. As indicated by Wayne, we've been submitting these parliamentary oversight reports on an annual basis, and we send it to the entire office, presiding office of Parliament, to all the secretaries, to all the chairpersons, and we offer to come and present our findings based on this data and to explain what our insights are. Now, we get dismal response rates on an annual basis, which, you know, if this opportunity was taken, we would hope to see better improvement. And that's all that we could really hope for, is to keep on putting pressure so that after this election, that we get a parliament that actually cares and is willing to collaborate with civil society and other entities. What is really clear currently is that we are sitting with a systemic problem. Mm. It's not just MPs, but a systemic problem within Parliament itself that must be addressed and fixed.
Yeah, and the sooner they do that, the better. Thank you so much, Professor Gumede, Professor Gauss, and Dr. Fisher, for joining us for this chat.